for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday morning, July the 7th, 1993. Summer camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Chuck Flynn is the speaker of the morning.
Is almost what Apostle Paul said. He has delivered and doth deliver and will deliver. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8. How marvelous is the Lord. I do want you to be thinking about, I had a concern yesterday, I told Glenn and Irma about the new buildings, and some of you would like to do something toward that. Probably at the end of our message, we will, I'd like to see, show you the artist's vision of it, and you could pray about a commitment within 3 months, so forth, whatever the Lord lays on your heart. But I believe that they're needed, and this area has been leveled off here to the side of our the right as you go towards the bridge. So I know that God will bless and expand the vision. Amen. But I pray that the finance will come in, that Glenn doesn't have to do the bulldozing, and we'll have to put him in a straight is the way jacket. Amen. Yeah, I know that, but we'll God has some other anointings around, I'm sure. And 72 years of age should bring forth a little expertise of administration, and without the hard work that he's capable. But we just see that there was a time that the mighty men of David said, "You stay here this time. You're more precious to us at home now, because we're fighting, because we admire you. We'll go fight the battle, but we want you in charge." And that's the way I feel about Lake Hamilton. Glenn's done enough. I believe God will raise up those, and he is very conscious of this. He's burdened that there will be others with a similar burden that will come in and be trained and do that which he and Irma have felt the vision. I pray for helpers. Let's reach our hand toward Glenn. Irma just came in, so we'll include her. Father, we bless Lake Hamilton. We bless. Now, this is a new era. We pray as the mighty men of David said, "David, don't go out with us anymore to war." And because we preserve you, now we preserve Glenn and Irma. We thank you, Lord. We refresh them in the anointings of our God. That administrative wisdom be given them and a higher level of ambassador anointing, that they'll be sent other places and not to have to nest or to hover over the mundane and the daily chores of this vision. Father, loose them in a higher level, and don't let it be that they have to say there's nobody else. God, to you we praying for the Lord of the harvest to loose labors for Lake Hamilton in Jesus' name. And those of the staff who are here, we bless them and we thank you, Lord, that Glenn and her be able to delegate and to instruct, but to rest. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. It's a new level, and learn how to flow with it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I would like to, this morning, continue in the book of 1 Corinthians 2, and then we'll finish that briefly. We're dealing with the mysteries. This word is found often in the Word of the Lord. So our subject matter is the mystery of His way. Of course, it's impossible to cover thoroughly, but we're bringing out some of the things that has been neglected in the mystery of His way. We hope that it will be a blessing as these tapes go around the world. You know, and pray that Irma is anointed as she usually is. I like it, Irma, when you tell what went on in the sessions and to expand on the vision of what went on here at the camps. And then she puts it in the paper, and it is stirring. Amen. Although you're not here, it is refreshing to hear what went on and what was said. And we thank God for it. So, and we appreciate all the speakers. Amen. Tonight at 7, Brother Jack, and the praisers, and then tonight this afternoon at 3, Brother Frank. And we appreciate, and then Brother Tom, the anointing of the Lord. And each one has a different flavor. Amen. It's a smorgasbord anointing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that's always that way at Lake Hamilton. Just like the weather. If you don't like it, stick around. It'll change. All of us have a different contribution, and I praise God for that. And starting with verse 6 again, in 1 Corinthians 2. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. Yeah, that'd be a good line to underline. It's about time the body grows up. We've had enough milk of the Word, and it's clabbered on many tummies. And they've got aggravated, and they've got pouty tantrums. And they've caused their own little group. They've hurt others. Nobody can hurt you like a child. I mean, the child against the child. But in an hour or so, they forget it. But this group don't. The religious group, they are thoroughly mixed into their own aggravation. And if you don't run with them, then you're not going to make it. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age. And that's, of course, the princes who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom. In other words, this word mystery is not necessarily that which is not to be known. It's a mystery to the rulers of this age. You get the idea? It's the simplicity of Christ. I want you to put down 2 Corinthians. Let's look at that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2 and 3. We have here another area. We looked at Matthew 13, 34 and 35 yesterday, the mystery of the secrets that have been, the things that have been kept secret in Matthew 13, 34 and 35. From the foundation of the world. And we found out the foundation of the world is the fall of Lucifer. Now, I'm dealing with Matthew 13. I don't want to confuse you, but I just want to give you a review. Matthew 13 is the great kingdom chapter, and we dealt with 34 and 35. That Jesus spoke in parables or parallels. And then the prophet King David said these have been kept secret from Psalms 78, verse 2, from the foundation of the world. And we found out that God spoke to Jesus when he told Jesus he would be the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And that's the origin of the blood. The origin of the blood, in my opinion, was when the liquid love of God's heart spoke to the Word that you're going to be the Lamb. Way before Adam has been created, or is created, God the Father, at the fall of Lucifer, On the one hand, you have Michael casting out Lucifer out of heaven. Then the Father turns, if we can illustrate it, turns to the Word, His Son, but He's not the Son till Bethlehem, but He turns to the Creator, expression of His image, and that's the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made. John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 and 3. Then the Father speaks to the Word and says, "You will be the Lamb." And that's the origin of the blood. The liquid love of the Father is the blood of Jesus, not contaminated with human blood. That's why Jesus did not have to go to any cross. He went on our behalf. His blood is pure. He's innocent. He is the one that took our place. Hallelujah. But that's the origin. That's all. The Scripture is a little silent on that, but it does illustrate what happened. The Father spoke to the Son, to the Word, and He said, "You're going to be the Lamb." And so He was the Lamb slain, and the blood was given. Now, the only other half of that mystery is Hebrews 12:24. In 12:24, it says, "We have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of what? Sprinkling." That means to plead the blood. The blood of sprinkling, that speaks. There's your key. The blood speaks. So therefore, the blood speaks better things than that of Abel is involved. So the blood has a voice. That's the voice. The Father gave it out of His own blood. Out of His own heart come to love. And that liquid love of the Father is the blood of Jesus that is forever and ever. The blood is under the mercy seat in heaven at this day. In just a few days, the blood will be gathered into the vesture. It's a thick belt woven, about 6 inches in width, they tell us. That vesture dipped in blood, and on it is written the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that vesture soaks in approximately, medical doctors have told me, about 19 pints. Of blood in a 33-year-old man. So the blood of Jesus goes into the vesture, and the belt of the blood is put around His body, which spiritually has already happened. That's why we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us, because we have the belt of the blood. And that's why the boxers and the wrestlers and the judos and all of that, it's a cheap imitation of Satan. They don't know where they got it, but they hold up these belts of champions. But they got it from the book of Revelation, from the anointing of our Lord Jesus Christ that puts on the greatest belt, hallelujah, for mankind, is the belt of the blood that will set the captive free. Let's praise Him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for the anointing of the belt of the blood that's upon Him for eternity. Hallelujah. Spiritually, we have the belt of the blood around us. It's the midsection, and that's where the anointing of the living waters come from. The belt of the blood around you, but then the belly button where you were sustained in your mother's womb, that sustaining and growth by the umbilical cord, strength from your mother, helped you as a embryo shaped and also formed to the size of birthing. So we are in the womb of the morning. Once we're in the natural womb, we were conceived. And when the egg and sperm come together, that's in Psalms 22 and verse 10. "I was cast upon thee from my mother's womb." The word cast is embryomamaya in the Hebrew. The root meaning of embryomamaya is embryo. And that which is embryo stems from the word embroidery. So the creative hand of God that consumed or conceived you and also consumed us in His grace, when you were conceived and I in our mother's womb, God was there embroidering your personality for life and forever. God has His embroidery needles, knit one and purl two, and God doesn't miss a stitch. And that's why the word for sin does not mean immorality, it does not mean narcotics, it does not mean disobedience. Sin means, it's the Hebrew, the Greek word, please, it is harmartia. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the harmartia of the world. Harmartia is a Greek word that means as an archer or someone shoots at a goal. It means to miss the mark, as you would in life strike at something, but if you miss Jesus, everything else is sin. If you miss the Lamb, if you miss Christ, you go into masonry, you can go into all kinds of societal imitation, but if you miss Jesus, you can be a good, upstanding, moral person as far as the world's concerned. But the root meaning is to miss the mark. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I press toward the mark. And the word mark there is, in the Greek, the signature of God. From number 6 and verse 20, the Lord God told Moses, I want you to tell Aaron on the Day of Atonement to speak 10 times over the people this. And so he gave Moses to tell Aaron, bless my people on the Day of Atonement 10 times with the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And say it over and over 10 times, which is the completeness of a vision, the completeness of a fact or an event. On the Day of Atonement, speak 10 times. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And when you're through saying it 10 times, then Moses, and here's one of the mysteries. We don't know how it was done, but he told Moses, put my name on them. And that's the responsibility of the fivefold ministry. That's what Satan has tried, and all religious devils have tried through the years and through the dark ages, is strip the ministry, the anointing of the prophets, priests, and king anointing through Jesus to do not. They have watered it down to we hardly know what it is, how to put the name of the Lord on the people. And that's why I thank God for deliverance. But as Irma said, I also lay hands on them so that they are filled up with the Lord and the name of Jesus. That's what you're doing, see? She probably didn't even realize it. But it comes from Numbers, the Day of Atonement. Put my name on them. That's why the artistic world, they don't know why they do it. But a painting isn't worth anything unless it's signed by the one that painted it. A sculpture is not any achievement unless we have the artist's signature. So it is with Christ. You're just another Christian if you don't have the name. Amen. You call yourself whatever you want to, but you've got to have the name, the authority, the character. Put my name on them. I press toward the mark, the signature. Oh, my God, here the apostle had not achieved it. But he says, I was apprehended. I was, and the root meaning in the Greek means I was, his hand grabbed me by the nape of my neck. I was apprehended on the way to Damascus, and now he says, I'm able to apprehend him. Hallelujah. Grab a hold of Jesus and hang on.
Amen.
Till his name, his authority, his character, his life, giving flow, has moved within you with great joy. I was cast upon thee. So as we were born of the natural womb, at the time when the shape of the baby is in its mature form, then the growth process, it's birthed. So you have the natural womb that you were birthed into the earthy, but now you have the spiritual womb And that's Psalms 110, verse 3, that he has, 3 and 4. He has cast me into his spiritual womb, or the womb of the morning. The womb of the morning. And I believe the womb of the morning is that place where the anointing of God, when you accept Jesus as your Savior, it's Christ Jesus. You're in the womb of the morning. Your youth is renewed. The anointing of the quickening of the Holy Spirit flows through you. And the glory of God is your portion. Because you're in the womb of the morning. So as you grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord, when it's time for you to come not to the valley of the shadow of death, but you've come to a fresh birthing into eternity. Death is not an end. Death is a birthing to the child of God that knows his name.
Hallelujah.
Who's sealed, hallelujah, with the promise of the Father. The glory of God's within you. You haven't come as the ages roll. You haven't come into a dead-end street. You've come into a birthing into eternity to rule and reign with him forevermore. Hallelujah. He's the womb of the morning. The bright and the morning star. Amen. The glory of his peace. Now the difference between evangelicals and those that are filled with the Spirit in the womb of the morning is that the ones who are filled with the Holy Ghost are connected by the umbilical cord. There's a spiritual umbilical cord, and it's only through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that's why Jesus said, out of your innermost being. Well, how does the rivers of living water get there? They come from the throne of God. Revelation 22, verse 1, for out of the throne of God comes the river of life, clear as crystal. Comes down by the tree of life, the leaves of the trees, the healing of the nations, and then the 12 manner of fruit, one for every month. We don't know what those fruit are, but we desire, and we're going to loose that mystery. That's one of the mysteries of his ways. That's why Satan has come up with astrology and all types of the signs of the zodiac. It is to be rebuked. You never look at your horoscope. That has nothing. It shouldn't even be mentioned among us. It's satanic. It's devilish. Because you have a yearly, you have a monthly anointing in the Holy Ghost that has been given. And when people put that kind of thing into the millennium, how ignorant. These things are done for us to walk in. There is an anointing for this month of July. There's an anointing for January, February, March, and April, and May. And those anointings are every month, and that's been hidden. But I loose revelation. I loose the 12 fruits upon the body of Christ because the Holy Ghost comes by the river of life. The tree of life, the 12 manner of fruit, is to be loosed in us. Of course, they'll be perfected in the millennium, but we don't have anything to do with that. We'll flow with it, but we're going to have a little heaven to go to heaven in. I loose a revelation that will combat all types. That's why psychics know their end is near. The demonic psychics, they know the church is going to have a revelation of the 12 fruits and no more horoscopes. Amen. Horoscopes. Yes. The anointing of God has given you and I. Now, I've looked at it. Father, reveal. What is these fruits? And it has to do with the ephod anointing and the beautiful precious stones that identify the 12 tribes of Israel. You'll find as you study them, then each stone speaks of a character of human nature giving forth to divine nature. And that's why the ephod was on the heart of the high priest or upon the chest of the high priest. And when John the Beloved put his ear and his head on the chest of Jesus over his heart, that brought the ephod anointing from the Levitical priesthood over to the church. It wasn't just John the Beloved, little Lord Fauntleroy. They paint him up, Leonardo da Vinci's a nice, sheepish little tend to feel, hey, he's a son of thunder. He's a man's man. He's not a panty waist, a wimp. He represents us. And John the Beloved put his head upon the chest of Jesus. That meant the priestly anointing is upon the body of Christ. Hallelujah. The ephod anointing. And therefore, those precious stones, you see why, and study them. Why was there Reuben and Simeon discarded? Why then was there those stones and what they represent? They are in parallel to the 12 manner of fruits. And the anointing of our God in January would, to me, be the tribe of Judah of great praise and worship, of the establishment and dedication of the whole year. Hallelujah. And then each month, glory to God, I release this. Because, see, this is a mystery that is to be... You see, most of us thought everything's been preached.
No.
Everything has been hedged. We have one of the greatest cover-ups is in the church. People that don't want the responsibility, they like the crowds. And so the pastor has become a gospel landlord.
Uh-huh.
In most cases, for his denomination or his group. He's not wanting to dig in. He likes those canned sermons of salvation. That's all he'll ever preach. He likes to fuss with other groups. But he's weary and well-doing. Because his 10 spy syndrome counselors and deacons are keeping him from battling the giants. So may God release the whole church. Amen.
Amen.
Not in a critical sense, but oh God. I believe it's time that you and I as Holy Ghost people begin to see what can we do to release the revelations that are here. I'm tired of just saying, well, that's too bad. They've missed it there and they missed it over here. Hey, that's not going to get the job done. Let's begin to speak positive. Let's begin to have something that the power of God and the anointing of God, where it will make those that quench the Spirit jealous.
Amen.
God had to do it with Israel. Let's have the anointing of God and see amputees that have been taken limbs of their body and see them grow out before our eyes on TV and places where they'll say, surely God's in this place. Amen. I loose it. Let's praise God for it. Seal it this day. Loose us the 12 manner of fruits. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the glory that we have. Oh, the anointing of our God. So the umbilical cord of the water rivers of life comes down and is within you. Then Jesus said, you shall receive power, which the word dunamis or dynamo. Now, dunamis is also used for the power of Satan. In Luke 10 and verse 19, I shall give you power over all the power. The same word there is dunamis. But the word that in Acts 1:8, where you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So what Jesus is saying, although the devil has his own dynamite, I've given you a dynamite, but I've also given you a dynamo. That's the Greek word, dynamos, or dynamo. That's a generator. So he said, when I put power within you, now, in Luke 10:19, he said, I'll give you power over all the power. Now, the word is, I'll give you delegated authority. So, the word for power means, I'm giving you delegated authority. That means you might have power in your car, but you better come to a stop when the red light is there. Even though you got dunamis, even though the devil has dynamite or dunamis, Jesus is saying, I've given you the exousia, is the Greek word. I've given you the exousia, or delegated authority, to that I will back up to say to the wisdom and the rulers of this world, be bound. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So we have exousia. We have delegated authority. We're the red light to the devil. And Jesus has given that to us in Luke 10:19. So his authority then is within us. And this dunamis, though, of Acts 1:8 is dynamo. It means he's put a generator here. Now, a generator moves with an armature. It's a copper armature, and it deals with the magnetic forces that are in the earth. We're of the earth, earthy, so the rules of the earth or the scientific laws are in parallel with the spiritual laws of the believer. At the equator, you have great magnetic forces. Where above the equator in the north, the water will go clockwise. In the south, the water will go counterclockwise down a drain. You have winter in the north, but below the equator, at the same time, you'll have summer. So the magnetic forces, Jesus is saying, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, I'll give you a generator. And the plus and minuses of life, spiritual conflict. When you speak in tongues, the river of life will flow. The anointing of the umbilical cord from my throne will go through your generator, the plus and minuses of life. And when you speak in the Spirit, I will send peace to your life and to the nations of the world as you're used of me in this great privilege of speaking in heavenly languages, which is above the languages of the earth.
Amen.
For now you have the quickening spirit. Now you have the anointing. And so the umbilical cord is attached to your innermost being, and therefore we're in the womb of the morning and the growth process of the Spirit. There's others that have a relationship with Him but do not have the umbilical cord. There's no growth process. Except they learn their dogmas and doctrines and how to keep down the anointings of God. They're in relationship but not fellowship. See, that comes from Kadesh Barnea when the 10 spies went in, 12 spies. And when those 12 spies came back, Joshua and Caleb said, we're able to go in and take the land. It was not God's will for them to wander 40 years. But the 10 spies gathered stones. And they persuaded the peoples, the giants are too big for us. Moses has brought us out here. We can't trust him anymore. We'd rather go back to the leeks and garlics. So they began, their intent was to stone Joshua and Caleb. God told Moses, get out of my way. I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to waste them. Moses said, oh, no, no, Father. And Moses began to turn on one of the greatest intercessors was in Moses. And he prayed to God, and then the Lord said, all right, stop the music. I'll forgive them. But then God said something that Moses nor we will ever forget, because it's still in action. He said, surely as I live, saith the Lord, all the earth shall be filled with my glory. That has not happened yet. So therefore, the same premise is today as it was when it was given to Moses.
Hallelujah.
In other words, I'll forgive them, but they'll not go into my promise. They'll not go into the promised land. Their carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. I'll forgive them. They'll be in relationship to me. They'll be my sons, but I won't have fellowship with them in the promises. And that's why we're dealing with that today. When you get sympathetic and say, well, they're good people. I don't know why we've got to fall in the power and dance in the Spirit. And my, why are we different? You better thank God you're different. You've come into the fellowship of the Father. Sure, they're still sons. They're in relationship. But He will not, He doesn't like anybody stoning those that are going after the giants. And Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that went in. Amen. They were the only ones. The percentage is about the same today. May God help us to know the power, the authority that He's given us. Because we're outnumbered, it's not a sign that we're wrong. Truth has never been proven by multitudes.
Amen.
Truth is truth. That's why Jesus said, will you also leave me? Jesus was not really, he didn't come here to get a great congregation. Come here to speak what the Father told him to speak. If you do that, they'll either shape up or ship out, or try to have you ship out. So may God give us, and may the Lord touch the pulpits of the land to be strong in the authority of the Word of the living God. Surely as I live, say it with me, surely as I live, saith the Lord, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Again, surely as I live, saith the Lord, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Handalama, shandalama. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Uriyadavarandalama, shauriyadavarandalama. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We'll put our faces flint, and we'll head toward the Jerusalem of Almighty God, that new Jerusalem, the bride, hallelujah, coming out of heaven. We will head toward that goal of perfection in Christ, and nothing shall thwart or nothing shall detract us. Hallelujah. Nothing will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Ooh-wee. Hallelujah. That's the mystery of His way. Hallelujah. You have the umbilical cord of the Spirit. You have the anointing, a fresh anointing on you every month. Father, reveal it to us. Amen. We have neglected it. God says, first of all, Timothy, through the Apostle Paul, I haven't given you the spirit of fear. Spirit of fear tries to limit you. Former teaching tries to limit you from being your best for Jesus. We prove that in Hebrews 5:11. Dull of hearing. But just because you don't know something is not the reason for you not to desire it. Desire opens up. Remember, we studied about how Jesus prayed. It was the word harpazo, which means desiring onward to please the Father. He prayed that way in Gethsemane. He prayed that way when He named the disciples. He prayed that way when He was transfigured. He prayed that way when He was baptized. He was praying. Caught up. And then, in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Same word, harpazo. The anointing of your prayer life, that authority of the quickening power of God that opens the windows of heaven, the anointing of God is the parousia. But that means you are to flow in that authority, and the glory of God will bring us unto Himself. The anointing to have His heart and His power. Hallelujah. We better begin to be aware and seek and to please the Father, because there's great authority in revelations yet to be revealed. We're probably just as bad off as the Queen of Sheba. She said, the half wasn't even told me. Just don't wait till eternity to find that out. There's much in this word. Kilamata kamashanda. Speak in the Spirit while you read the word. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Move into the glories of God. Amen. How wonderful. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 2:7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. He ordained it, underline, before the ages. And have you wrote down Ephesians 1:3-4? Before the ages. Which none of the princes or rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That means the wisdom of Christ within you disarms all satanic opposition. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God... Well, that's good. Underline that. That's a good phrase. It's all through the Bible. But God has, past tense, mystery of His way, He has revealed them to us through His Spirit. Now, God has revealed. Write down Acts chapter 15 by verse 10. I want to go over there and see what the verse is. Acts 15 is the first convention or camp meeting of the church. Peter's taken out of rulership. James is in charge. So as Peter tells about the anointing falling on the house of Cornelius and the Gentiles receiving the word of God. See, when you have Acts 11, verse 1, that the Gentiles received the word of God, that is truth. That does not mean scripture. It means His name is the word of God. And when you receive the baptism, when you receive healing, when you receive all of His character, you're receiving the Word. It's Him that you're missing. He's the Word. His name is the Word of God. Teach us, Father. Teach us, Father. Teach us, Lord. And that's in Acts 11, verse 1, where they, the apostles and brethren of Judea, when they had heard the Gentiles had received the Word of God. You better know what the Holy Ghost means there. Amen? Doesn't just mean tongues. Doesn't just mean the baptism. The Holy Spirit put in there the Word of God. It means the anointing of the Word. When Jesus came to John the Baptist to be baptized, John, so humble, it's all right to a certain point, Jesus says. John said, well, I'm not even able to tie your shoes. Jesus said, suffer to be so, John. What do you mean? John, it's all right to be humble, but that's not your ultimate goal. Your ultimate goal is fulfill Scripture. When you're ministering in my name, yes, you will be humble toward me, but that's not what I really desire. I really desire you to fulfill Scripture. So get with it. And why did Jesus say that? Suffer to be so, John, for thus must the Scripture be fulfilled. What Scripture? I ask that of the Lord. That's why I study the Bible. Your study of the Bible is not separate from your worship. You worship, and then you worship while you study and talk to Him. What do you mean by Scripture? I asked the Lord that. He said, all right. He said, go to Exodus 12. I went there. He said, it's the lamb. What did they do? Well, they put the lamb in Exodus 12, a pen. He's a yearling, a year old. They put cloth and skins around it so he wouldn't scratch himself. For 4 days they examined him. Thus must the Scripture be fulfilled. Jesus was examined. He was examined religiously. The Sadducees said, there's a woman married a man. He died. She married all of his brothers. Whose shall she be in the resurrection? The Sadducees were just tricking him. They didn't believe in the resurrection. Therefore, they were sad, you see. Jesus told them, all religious examination. He gave the decree to all false religions and all modern cults. And this is the decree. You do err not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. Yes. Amen. And then he told him his answer. There's no marrying and giving in marriage in heaven. But he told humanity, you do err not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. He was examined religiously. He's examined governmentally. Should we give to Moses or to Caesar? We sure can't do both. No, they were trying to trick him. Give me a coin. Whose image is on the coin? They knew what he meant then. Oh, that's Caesar. What he didn't say was most important, whose image is on you? They knew what he meant. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but unto God the things that are God's. You're made, you're created in the image of God. Therefore, it's your obligation to give. You didn't choose to be washed in the blood, neither shall you choose whether you're to give or not. It's part of it. If you've truly been converted, you're in the image of God, and you'll give. Praise God Almighty. You don't have a choice. Try to hedge on God. Well, is this a tie? Right hand? No. Fool you on that business. God says you give. I'll give to you. I'll bless you. You're in my image. I created you that way. Don't rob me of blessing you. Praise God Almighty. He's examined socially. The lawyer spoke up after Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, and your neighbor as yourself. And one of the Mosaic lawyers, not a legal, but a Mosaic lawyer, which was in the form of legalism, but who is my neighbor? And the Bible says that Jesus answering him, and the underlying original there of the Spirit, and Jesus pulling all the ground out from under him. I like it. In other words, if you can answer individuals and pull all their defense out from under them, pull all the ground out from under them, because your house is built on the solid rock, upon the teachings of the Lord. Your house is just not your personality. Your house is your domestic house. Your house is your financial house. Your house is your social house, your industry house. And sometimes you haven't built. You say, well, I'm built upon the rock. I study the Word. No, but your finances is not built upon the rock. You haven't gotten into the Word. You haven't sought the anointing of God. You have built upon sand. And your finances is in jeopardy. Because the only difference of your house financially or your domestic, oh, wife or husband, why are you acting differently? It's the storm has come, and that makes the difference. It looks all the same until the storm comes. And when the rains descend and the floods come from different directions and the wind blows, if you're built in your domestic relationship, in your love relationship, of parenting, of parents to children, oh, God help us to build the house of a parent to a child on the Word. That's the most degrading attack of Satan today. And our children, when the storm comes, when Satan comes and tempts them through our educational system, there's no Word, there's no rock. We're out here praising God and worship. May God help us. You build your children. They're your house. You build your industry, your business. Many are cheating. They're confessing Christians, and yet you can't hardly... I hear it wherever I go around the world. You can't deal with a Christian. They'll rip you off. It's a shame. It's an abomination. You haven't built your industry house on a rock. You'll cheat, connive, you're tightwads. You've got an industry house. You've got a family house. You've got a financial house. You've got an intimate house. You've got a bed house. What you do in the bed, you haven't built it on the Word. Some people act like animals. And then thank God has forgotten about them when they want something. When the storm comes, you better build your house in all areas of your life upon the rock and the teachings of the anointings of our blessed Lord. Amen? Oh, the authority and that which He's given us, bringing us into Himself. He wants every area of your house. Dedicate yourself right now. Father, help me to build upon Thy Word in every area. I didn't realize this. I didn't realize it. I thought it was just my house, my eternal being that I was responsible for. But my God, help me. Help me to teach my children and grandchildren. Help me to be firm. My days might be limited, but my days are going to be valuable. I'm going to train them. I'm going to teach them. I'm going to speak up and build their house and put a rock underneath them that when the storm comes, they'll be able to stand. Let's praise Him with a clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why we got in the 80s and now ministers weeping, crying, I've sinned and I've done this. And I don't look at them as, I just say, my God, the church needs a fresh anointing of revelation. Yes. David said in 2 Samuel 5, he said, when the Philistines came up in the valley of Rephaim, he said, I inquired of the Lord. That means he talked to the Urim and Thummim. I'm not losing the Urim and Thummim anointing. It's been given to me and to you in John 16, verse 13, when the Spirit of truth has come, He'll guide you into all truth. That's Thummim. He'll not speak of Himself, but He shall show you things to come, and that's Urim. In the original Hebrew, Thummim is circle, and circle is a symbol for truth. Thumma or Urim means fire or light or illumination. I'll know things before it happens. Hallelujah. And when I have the mind of Christ, my mind becomes the cloven mind of Almighty God. In the Old Testament, we have the cloven hoof that signifies the clean animal. The cloven hoof. The clean animal by the Word. In the New Testament, we have the cloven tongues of fire signifying the power of God through the Holy Ghost and the anointing of the Word. In the epistles, we have the cloven mind. It's not spoken there, just like the cloven tongues of fire. And like the cloven hoof, it's the same authority and anointing. Three witnesses, the cloven hoof, cleanliness through the Word, cloven tongues of fire, power through the Word, and the cloven mind means mental strength and authority. Your brain is in two lobes. Your left hemisphere and your right hemisphere. Brain surgeon of ORU told me that this is the logic, this is the creative side. Hardly any of us, they say that human beings only use a tenth of their brain. Sometimes some of the dumb decisions I made, I don't know if I use that much. But God has given you and I a capacity, and the Holy Ghost is to restore what the fall took away from us. And when you're filled with the Spirit by speaking in tongues, the logic side is enhanced and the creative side is brought into activity. And there's cerums that flow through from the brain, two cerums going down into the body and touches the face first and the countenance. And these two cerums increases your immune system 35% to 40%. And that's the answer to all kinds of HIV and AIDS, that people who will believe and be filled with the Spirit, the anointing of the Lord, hallelujah, will encourage and heal the immune system. But the power of God that's praised through you as you yield to the Holy Ghost, that releases your creative side of your brain, and therefore your cloven mind takes over. That's why Paul says, I will pray with my left hemisphere, and I will pray with my right hemisphere. That's my interpretation. He said, I'll pray with my understanding, and I'll pray in the Spirit. I'll sing with my understanding, and I'll sing in the Spirit. Let's agree, we release the cloven mind, that we'll not only deal logically, but in the Spirit, we'll know things before they happen. The anointing of the Lord. Take your right hand, put it on your forehead. Father, I seal every forehead to be loosed in logic, the left hemisphere. Loose us, Lord, to know the glory of our God, the authority of the Lord, and that which you will reveal, though our sins be as scarlet, they are white as snow. Hallelujah. Now, Father, release us in the right hemisphere, the creative anointing. Rebuke the wiles of the devil. Loose us by the power of the Holy Ghost. As we speak in tongues, we loose the right creative side that will know things before they happen. Amen. Let's praise Him for that. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's the authority He's given us in His power and the anointing of His Word. But in Acts 15, after this, verse 16, after this I will return. Now, James is speaking here from verse 13. We're at Acts chapter 15, verse 13, the first conference of the church. And after they had become silent, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, listen to me. Simon hath declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take of them a people for his name, to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. Verse 16, underline it. After this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David. Now, Irma has back there on the book table a book by a man that I know of from Australia, and his name is Kevin Connors. You better get it. I don't know how many they have, but the Tabernacle of David you should have in your possession. You need to know how the Tabernacle of David is related to the body of Christ today. Okay? He will rebuild. Put it in your library by Kevin Connors on the Tabernacle of David, which has fallen. Now, he's quoting from Amos 9:11. Put that down by verse 16. Amos 9:11. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up so that the rest of mankind... You see it? You need to know about the Tabernacle of David so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Oh, he's saying something powerful here. The baptism of the Holy Ghost to Cornelius and upon the Gentiles is not just a passive thing. He's talking in the anointing. The Holy Ghost is speaking through him. And later on, he even counteracts that in his actions with the Apostle Paul. But he's speaking now on the anointing of God. And he said, through this, I'm going to rebuild its ruins so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. We have been given a great resource, a great privilege of spiritual experience in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does all these things. And then James adds to that in verse 18, one of the great mysteries, I'll conclude with this, I have to go to Ephesians, though, to conclude with the subject matter. Known to God, read it with me, known to God from eternity are all His works. Known to God from eternity, it's a New King James phrase, are all His works. In other words, he's speaking here of the mysteries again. James is. You think that's Pauline. You think that's the epistles. But James is quoting from the prophets. And he says, God knows what he's prepared. And that's how through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, not just tongues alone, but all things that God's prepared for those that love him in this dispensation. Turn to Ephesians 1. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3. Let's start with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, underline that. That means Jesus' earthly ministry, Yeshua HaMashiach, that's his earthly ministry. He's Joshua or Jesus, the salvation, in the anointing. So it means up to the cross that he cares for you, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So when Paul the Apostle says Jesus Christ, that means his earthly ministry to assist you and to be your burden bearer in this life. To the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Now he changes it. Why? Because now he's putting the anointing. It means the abilities, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the fruits and gifts of the Spirit are at your disposal now through Christ, the Anointed One, in your salvation. That's what it means. Christ is the Anointed One in Jesus, the salvation. So Christ Jesus. Verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ means his divine authority, ruling and reigning with him, the anointing of power within you that you have authority. Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God. Verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every, underline it, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. Now we're going back to the foundation of the world, and he says, the Father, when he spoke to the Son, or to the Word, that the anointing of the Lamb would be upon him, that's when he gave us all spiritual blessings known unto God or all of his ways. Amen. All the things that he's purchased for us before Adam was ever created. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, there's no separation of verses here when Paul wrote this. So they did that later on. Just in the New King James, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And one of the great revelations that Jesus taught the Apostle Paul, this great mystery of provision and spiritual weapons were given before Adam was ever created. Tongues was given, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, wisdom, discernments, words of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, all of the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long suffering. That was given before Adam was ever created. Every spiritual blessing, emphasize that, every spiritual blessing. Now, to back this up, we've got to look at the word spiritual. It's pneumatika. Let me spell it for you. Pneu. P-N. Starts with a P. P-N-E-U. M-E-N. T-I-K-O-S-R-A. K-A. Pneumatika. Or pneumatikos. It means, pneuma means, of course, spirit, breath, wind. The pneumatology or the anointing, the doctrine of the Holy Ghost. Pneumatika is the word for spiritual and then blessing that was given at the foundation of the world.
Hallelujah.
Now let's look and write down by verse 3, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, the word spiritual is pneumatika. The Holy Ghost gave every spiritual blessing when God the Father, at the fall of Lucifer, turned and told Jesus, he will be the Lamb. Before Adam's been created, he told Jesus he would be the Lamb. He told Jesus all of the secrets. All of the Gospels that Jesus taught us, the Father told it to him then. He told him he'd be the Lamb. He told him about the Comforter. He promised the Comforter. All of the secrets and the glory of God, the Father spoke it when he spoke the blood covenant. The blood came into existence. And in with that numantika, our spiritual blessing before the foundation of the world, is I concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, speaking in tongues, interpretation, prophecy, all of the nine gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the fivefold ministry, the fruits of the Spirit, all the abilities to give out of Romans 12, verse 11, those are the operations of God the Father. All, every spiritual gift is involved at the foundation of the world, and Pentecost just released it to fulfillment. Amen. So all Baptists, all Presbyterians, all Episcopals, hear the word. Tongues didn't start at Pentecost. You can't just say, well, that was just for the apostles. No, that's for every child of God. It was given, and it's proven in Scripture, every spiritual blessing is in Christ. Amen. You better have this teaching handy and know it. It's not just a teaching, it's the authority of the Word, which is His name. All things were given in Christ. That's where the secrets of the Father was put, in the Word. And when you know the Word, you will release every spiritual blessing. You'll release the fivefold ministry. You'll release the nine gifts, the anointing of God. You say, well, no, there's one person. Yes, you can have anything that meets the need of your hour. You can't say, I've just got a gift of interpretation. No, you have all of them. You have the ability. You can reach into the Word, which is your Savior. But He's also your baptizer. He's also your comforter. He's the fivefold ministry, the anointing of His presence. I don't care what the Dow Jones average and the modern devils come up with. We have been sealed from eternity. God the Father knew what we would be allocated with and what you'll need in 1990. This is the year of change, Isaiah said. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, in the year the king died. Now the government's saying this is the year of change, but the change is in God's people. That's going to benefit the world, not the president. We found that out quick. And so in Isaiah 6, verse 1, write it down in your Bible. In the year of change, 1993, I saw the Lord. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the year of change. And so now, I don't want you to be ignorant. In Romans 1, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant of gospel responsibility. That we're all a debtor. That I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant of suffering and persecution. In Romans 14, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant of how I'm going to deal with my people, which includes Israel. In 1 Corinthians 12, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant of the spiritual gifts. He puts that into those levels of five or six times he mentions, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. I looked up the word ignorant. The Greek word is agnoeo, A-G-N-O-E-O, agnoeo, and it means to err, to sin, in failure, to seek the truth. To sin because you failed, you've taken someone else's word for it, to seek the truth on your own. That's ignorance in God's sight. You have sinned, you've missed the mark, because you thought someone else was telling you the truth, and the evangelical world better wake up. I loose the anointing of God. I loose the purpose of the Father. We loose the mystery of His way before the foundation of the world. The Greek for foundation of the world is kata bole cosmos. Kata means casting down, bole the former, cosmos society. It ruled on the earth under Lucifer. And they were destroyed, but their spirits remain, which we call demonic spirits. So before the foundation of the world, the foundation of the world is not Genesis 1:1. That's the themelios, creation out of nothing, that the Word created all galaxies. Before that is Titus 1:2, where God, before time or any creative act, God spoke of our eternal life in Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Before the world began, his chronon aionion, that means before time or any creative act. See, the Word hasn't created. Jesus has not created anything at that point. It's just the Trinity. No angels, no Michael, no Gabriel, no Lucifer. God spoke of eternal life, and he knew about you before this earth was created. You better know he's in charge of you today. Thank you, Father. Let's praise him. Let's adore him. Thank you for the mystery of your way. Appreciate thine anointing and thy truth. Kandarama shandaramaha. Holy adabarandaravosha. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord, because you did condescend. You did empty yourself, and you became obedient to the death of the cross, taking our place. Oh, how marvelous it is. But Lord, in the blood covenant and in the authority of the Lamb's obedience, we have the riches of every spiritual blessing that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That we've been blessed with in the name of the Lord. Amen. I want you to have some homework. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 1. In Joel's prophecy, he mentions about ranks. Remember that? There's an army that will not break rank. Now, I've asked the Lord where these ranks are. And most of them are rank in the church. But the ranks of God are in the book of Ephesians. Of course, there's military ranks. There's family ranks. The priest of his home is the man. And then the wife flow together. There's military ranks. But there's also spiritual ranks. And they are found in the book of Ephesians. There's 80-some ranks in the book of Ephesians. Your homework assignment is that you go through the book of Ephesians. Now, you can start before this, but I think it would be well and good if you started with verse 12. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. Verse 13 is where I really want to start. In Him you also trusted after you heard. So number one rank is hear the word of truth. You see it? Hear the word of truth. Number two rank is trust the word of truth. You trusted. Trust the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, having believed, is number three. Having believed, you were sealed, is number four. Some people never get to number four. That's the baptism of the Spirit. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of the promise. So that's number four. Number five, who is the earnest or guarantee, it's a real estate term, earnest or down payment, dowry, of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. The whole verse is 5. 6 is verse 17, the B portion, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I loose rank number 6. Amen. That's where we are. Oh, God, give us the knowledge of Him. Number 7 is verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened is 7. That you may know the hope of His calling, put down number 8. And what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints is number 9. What is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power is number 10. Hallelujah. Number 11, It might differ with you, but I'm giving you just the guidelines. Is verse 5 of chapter 2. Even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, is number 11. Number 12, that in the ages to come, verse 7, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus, is 12. 13 is way over to verse 13. Now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, and so forth. Do you understand what I'm doing there? Go through the book of Ephesians and write down the ranks, and then let them be a guideline that you will not break them. You're in the army of the Lord. Hallelujah. You're not going to get off here and get off over there. Most those have gotten off on rank number 3. My God, how much more until we're the habitation of God, until the worthy oracle, the whole family of heaven and earth is named, and the purpose which He accomplished in Christ, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, is number 27, and on and on and on. Hallelujah! Father, seal your word to our hearts. Amen? Lord, we thank you for the decree of thine authority and the blessing, O God, of the ranks of the great army. Bring us unto thy heart. We love you, Word. We love you, Jesus. For we receive the Word of the living God, and that is our complete, that is our authority in our salvation. Amen.
Amen.
In Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.